Thank you, Chuck. And how do you do, my radio friends? From the indestructible and infallible Word of God in Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians 1:18. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We are continuing with these promises to the righteous, and the greatest promises to the righteous, of course, concern the future. They concern the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are many teachings in the Word of God concerning this great event of the future, and all of those who are the children of God shall have their place in that great future event. It is our business as people in the world to be concerned with the Word of God, to find out what the Word of God has to do with us. And then when we find out that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day, and that he is offered to us as Lord and Savior, and we are offered forgiveness of sins, and we are offered the gift of God, which is eternal life. And then when we receive the promises and become the children of God, we find that there are more and more and more promises to us as the children of God. And therefore we have the great expectation and the great and blessed hope of one day being exactly like the Son of God, of one day being exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Ephesians 1:18, this verse says that we may know. It is a little more than just a faint thing here. It is a full knowledge that we may know what is the hope of his calling, this great hope of the future, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, many people are afraid of that word saints, or the word saint, and they don't like anybody to refer to them as one of the saints. But we ought not to be afraid of that word, because it's a good Bible word. It's used here throughout the New Testament. It's in connection with the fact that we have become the children of God in Christ Jesus and have become holy ones of God. And the New Testament church, the New Testament believers, all of those who are saved by grace, are the saints of God. It is a very, very good word, but it has had some ridicule by people who say, well, what do you think you are, some kind of a saint? And they make fun of some of these Bible words. Well, those of us who know the truth of Scripture, and those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're not concerned anyway with what these people have to say when they ridicule us. We're not concerned with them. We simply consider the source, that their source is not from God, not from the Bible, not from Christ, not from the Holy Spirit, but the source of their ridicule is from Satan. And they are simply being used of the devil when they would ridicule any Christian anywhere. Now think of that the next time somebody makes a little bit of fun of you. If you say, well, I am one of the saints of God, that is true. All of us who are saved by the grace of God are the saints of God. Now he says that we can have a full knowledge of the hope of this calling, and we can know what the riches of the glory of this inheritance are going to be. In the first place, we have received the knowledge of sins forgiven. The blood of Christ has cleansed us from all sin. And then we have received the knowledge of the fact that we are going to have resurrection, and we're going to have resurrection bodies which will be exactly like the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the great hope of being with him forever, wherever he is going to be, and wherever forever might be. We have this great hope. So what more could you want than that? But these things are rich things. And these things are the riches of glory in the inheritance of the saints. Now we are going to inherit a brand new glorified body. That is worth thinking about. And then we are going to inherit a reward from the Lord in the way we have served him since we became Christians. He is not going to let our service for him go unrewarded. He tells us there is going to be a judgment of the Christians, and they are going to be judged according to the way they have served the Lord Jesus Christ since they became Christians. And they are going to be given a reward. That is going to be part of this inheritance of the saints, which is spoken of here. Now, those rewards which we are going to be given will be in the form of service. We are going to be given positions of service in the kingdom of Christ, the great 1,000-year kingdom, when he comes back to reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. Certainly the Bible teaches this, so that the Christians, those who serve him now, are going to be rewarded according to the way they have served the Lord. They are going to have positions of service in the great kingdom of Christ, which is going to be here upon the earth. And in that kingdom, they are going to serve him in a far greater way than they are serving him now, because they're going to be in new bodies, glorified bodies. They're going to be exactly like him. And he's going to have a worldwide kingdom, a universal kingdom, and the place of the believer in that kingdom is going to be according to the way he serves the Lord Jesus Christ now. So when he says that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, then he tells us in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So there is a great future for every believer. There is a glorious future for every believer who now serves the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there is a time coming when he is going to reveal all of those things connected with that future. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That there is going to be a further revelation of our great salvation. There is going to be a further revelation of the great glorification which we are going to have, so that we don't know it all now. And we are not going to know it all 10 or 20 years from now as we grow in grace. But when we come to see the Lord Jesus Christ at the resurrection, there is going to be a new beginning, a new revelation. We are going to know more and more and more, so that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now that expression, the ages to come, should have some consideration, because we are living now in what is known as the age of grace. The age before this in the Old Testament was the age of the law, so that there are certain periods of time in which certain acts of God are being carried out. At the present time, he is calling out his church from the world. And that means that when he gives out the gospel that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, when that word of God is given out and people hear it, the Holy Spirit shows them that this is the way of life. This is the only way of salvation. Now then, when that revelation has been given to people and they are understanding that God sent Christ to die for their sins and that God paid the price of their sins on the cross, when they understand this, then they must make a decision relative to it. They must say, I will receive Christ, or they must turn him down, so that in this particular age, this age of grace, we have the opportunity of receiving Christ as Lord, receiving Christ as Savior. And when we receive him as Lord and Savior, our future is guaranteed. May the Lord bless you in your study of his wonderful word.
You have just heard W. Norman Greenway in a message from his wonderful word, Box 2222, Greenville, South Carolina, United States of America.
Second Coming Reference Bible, 162:1.
Ladies and gentlemen, please listen for W. Norman Greenway in his multinational broadcast from the world's greatest book concerning the greatest event, future.
Thank you, Chuck. And how do you do, my radio friends? From the indestructible and infallible Word of God in Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether bond or free. Now here is a great fact, and here is a great promise, so that the Holy Spirit is telling the Christians very plainly that whatever good thing they do, they are going to receive a reward for. Now, you know, we have the idea sometimes that the Lord blesses us now, and the blessing we receive now is the only reward we're going to have for serving the Lord. Now, this is not the setup. The true setup is that in the kingdom of the future, after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, when we return to this earth with the Lord to reign in his kingdom, at that time, the believers who have served him are going to be in his kingdom, in his government, and they are going to have positions in that government according to the way they served him now in this world, in this life. So in Ephesians 6:8, knowing, in other words, having a full knowledge of this, knowing that whatsoever good thing, now the word good is the word related to righteousness and the word right, that whatsoever righteous thing any man doeth, which would simply mean that anything that any man does in the name of the Lord and for the glory of the Lord, that is the idea behind this. So therefore, knowing that whatsoever good thing, any righteous thing, any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So therefore, whether the man is a Jew who has become a Christian, or whether he is a Gentile who has become a Christian, he is called upon to serve the Lord. Now, the way to serve the Lord is to get his word out to other people, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, that word preacher there doesn't have to mean somebody standing in a pulpit someplace. That is any person who carries the word of God to somebody else. You might carry it to one person. And as one person, a Christian, carrying the word of God to another person, not a Christian, you are a preacher. You are carrying the word of the Lord to somebody. So he says, knowing that whatsoever good thing, righteous thing, any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. In other words, the Lord has a set of balances here, and he puts us in the balances as to what we do for him. And he says, the amount of things that you do for him are in the one side of this balance, and the reward that he is going to give you is in the other side of this balance. So therefore, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So the Lord is storing up for us, in that sense of the word, a reward. As we give the word of God to other people, as we pray for other people, as we testify to other people, as we in some way get the knowledge of Christ to other people, whether at home or abroad, whether to one person or to a crowd, as we are engaged in carrying out the word of God, as we are engaged in doing the will of God and getting his word out, so the Lord is keeping a record of what we do, and he is going to reward us at a particular time. Now, what time is that? Well, the time of the giving out of the reward is not now in this life, because now Christians, and many Christians suffer more than others, but now Christians all have to have some kind of suffering, some kind of trouble, some kind of disruption. We don't just go along smoothly like a glassy sea. There are storms and there are waves and all this kind of thing, and we go through these little times of tribulation many, many times in a year. However, we are guaranteed a safe port, and these rewards which are going to be given out for service are not given to us now. They are in reserve, so that knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether bond or free. He is storing up for us a reward, and he is going to give us that reward at the time of his return. Now, the Christians who die now are with the Lord, and then at the rapture, the Christians are going to be resurrected and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And then we are going to come back to reign upon this earth with the Lord for 1,000 years. Now, it is when we come back, and when we are reigning with him in his righteous government, that these rewards are going to be given out. He says that they are like gold and silver and precious stones, some of our works, and we're going to be rewarded by him in relation to these things. He said other works are wood, hay, and stubble, and that kind of stuff is just burned up, so there's no reward for that. But if we do these righteous things, if we get the word of God out to other people, he is storing up for us a reward which he is going to give to us, and we are going to receive it during that kingdom when we reign with him on earth for 1,000 years. Now, don't you think that'll be wonderful to have a position in the government of the Lord Jesus Christ? Won't that be wonderful to be one of his officials in that kingdom which he is going to place upon this earth? You know, we are not now the officials of Christ in his kingdom, because his kingdom has not come yet. We are still here in flesh and blood. But the time is coming when we are going to be rid of the flesh and blood idea, and we are going to be made exactly in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected and glorified one. So therefore, we have a great and beautiful prospect ahead. The Christian has a great prospect of the future. If he serves the Lord now, he can look forward to a great reward from the Lord in that kingdom. So therefore, it is our part to be busy, busy, busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. It might be in just handing out a tract to somebody. They might read in that little tract you hand them a message of the redemption of somebody else, and they might find the way for their own salvation. Many people, in fact, many thousands of people have been saved as a result of reading a little scripture tract, because they have taken it personally. So that when you hand out a tract and you pray for the person to whom you handed the tract, then you are expecting the Lord to use his word in that tract, and he will do it if the person who receives it will read it and read it with an open mind. So that even in the very simplest kind of service, the Lord is going to have a reward according to the action. Now, when somebody goes from this life to a foreign country onto the mission field and gives his whole life there in the darkness of heathendom, that is far greater than giving out a tract. It's in the will of God, and it is the will of the Lord. But the person who serves in such a way, the Lord is going to be rewarding him according to the way he served. And his position in that future kingdom will be according to his service. Now then, the question would come up, well, what about these Christians who don't seem to do anything? What kind of reward are they going to have? Well, if a person is a Christian, if he is truly saved by the grace of God, if he is truly born from above, if he is truly led by the Spirit of God, he is going to be doing something for Christ. There is no greater teaching in the Bible than the fact that the person who belongs to the Lord is called upon to serve the Lord. And that service is to be in Christian action, getting the word of God out somewhere. I hope that you are giving yourselves to this service of the Lord in getting his word out to others, and looking forward to that reward which shall come. May the Lord bless you in your study of his wonderful word.
You have just heard W. Norman Greenway in a message from his wonderful word, Box 2222, Greenville, South Carolina, United States of America.
Second Coming Reference Bible, 162:3.
Coming again.
Ladies and gentlemen, please listen for W. Norman Greenway in his multinational broadcast from the world's greatest book concerning the greatest event, future.
Thank you, Chuck, and how do you do, my radio friends? From the indestructible and infallible Word of God, in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now this peace of God, which is mentioned here, is quite a remarkable thing, because God transfers to the believer his own tranquility, if we use the word in that way. The peace of God is that peace whereby there is no disturbance, no activity of the enemy, no victory upon the part of anybody else. It is a peace which passes understanding. It is something so great which we cannot explain to others that he simply says, this peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, until you become a child of God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot understand the very simplest thing about the peace of God. It's just impossible for you. You see, you might get a very highly educated person, and he might be very intelligent, and he might know that he is an intellectual. And yet, if that person does not know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as his personal Lord and Savior, he does not know the peace of God, even though he has all of this training, all of this education, all of this intelligence. He cannot know the peace of God. So therefore, the peace of God, which is something transferred from him to the believer, passes all human understanding. There is no way to describe it. And yet, the very simplest Christian who had been a sinner and recognized the love of God in Christ Jesus and received him as Lord and Savior has a peace of heart and a peace of mind, which is the peace of God. And he is satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we have a song, I am satisfied with Jesus. I am satisfied with him. So therefore, when we are satisfied with the great salvation which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given the peace of God which passes all understanding. And it says the peace of God passeth all understanding. He said as a benediction, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So therefore, this peace of God does the keeping of the heart and does the keeping of the mind. When we have the peace of God, which passes human understanding and passes the description of the human intellect, it is something which keeps the heart and keeps the mind through Christ. You see, it is something real. It is something vital. It is not just a little fluff in the air somewhere. It is a very vital thing which comes from God himself. So therefore, a certain kind of Christian that you will see, you might say, well, now I know so-and-so, and he has just had so much trouble, or she has just had so much trouble year after year after year. I just don't see how they stand it. I don't see how they can put up with it. Well, now, did you ever think that maybe that person, and if you know them well, you would know it, but they have a peace. They have a peace of God which passes the understanding of other people. And therefore, they can put up with certain trials. They can put up with certain tribulations. They can put up with certain sorrows. And they can go along in tranquility when you say, well, they ought to be down at the very bottom of the ladder with all of the trouble they have. Yes, but they're not. They're up there at the very top because they have the peace of God. So therefore, it says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, there's a good way to put a test on yourself. You know, there are many people, and they say, well, I think I'm a Christian. Other people say, well, I just hope that I'm a Christian. And other people say, well, I'm not just sure that I'm a Christian, and I don't know whether I'm going to be taken when the Lord comes or not. Well, now, you ought not to go along like that, because really, that's a very dangerous way to go on. He says here that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and keep your minds through Christ Jesus. That if you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives the peace of God to your heart. And He keeps your heart and He keeps your mind through Christ. So therefore, the true Christian does not have any doubt about his salvation. And the true Christian does not have any doubt about the fact that he possesses eternal life. And the true Christian does not have any doubt about the fact that he shall be in the resurrection. And the true Christian does not have any doubt that at the resurrection he is going to be made into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the true Christian does not have any doubt that he is going to return to the earth with the Lord Jesus Christ to reign in that kingdom for 1,000 years. You see, his mind and his heart is kept by the peace of God. And the peace of God does this by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in the heart of everyone who by faith has received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now you see, maybe you ought to do this today. Maybe you should kind of go over yourself and ask yourself a few questions and say, now, am I really a child of God? Have I really and truly accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as my personal Lord and Savior? Have I really and truly surrendered myself to Him? Or am I just kidding myself along that I am a Christian? You see, there is a peace of God whereby you can be sure, you can be certain. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And not only that, but in verse 19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? But my God, Paul says, by the Spirit, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So therefore, every need that you have will be supplied by God. In the first place, if you're not a Christian, you could look at it this way. Well, I need salvation. I need everlasting life. Well, he'll supply that. And when you become a Christian, you might need some other things. You might need a strengthening of your faith. You might need more assurance. You might need hope. You might need just a lot of things that you don't know much about. Well, he said, I will supply all of your need. If you need assurance, if you need peace, if you need joy, if you need happiness, if you need hope, if you have a guarantee and you need a guarantee of the future, all of these things I will supply. So therefore, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So therefore, the Christian has everything he needs, has everything supplied for him, and he has nothing to worry about. May the Lord bless you in your study of his wonderful word.